The British pub gets a millennial revamp. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We start in France, where this afternoon the economy minister will officially present the 2020 budget, which includes more than $10 billion in tax cuts. Jessica Hines, a European economist at Capital Economics, explains whether that will be enough to spur economic growth.
The fact that French households next year will have more money in their pockets should help to boost consumer spending. That said, they are not particularly big measures in the grand scheme of things. They're worth about 0.4% of GDP. And that means that there isn't going to be much impact on the overall growth in France and indeed the wider Eurozone economy.
One of the things that's hit the French economy over the last year has been these yellow vest protests. And part of the investment from this budget will be into services. Will those investments be enough to offset concerns of the protesters, do you think?
You know, we've seen the Gilets Jaunes protests continue, albeit at a slower rate than it was, say, at the end of last year when, you know, there were strikes and Paris sort of came to a standstill every weekend. But, you know, we're still seeing protests at the moment over Macron's controversial pension reforms that he's lining up for next year. And I think that's going to continue to plague 2020.
When France's economy minister unveiled this plan, he called on Germany to kind of follow in France's fiscal footsteps here. Do you think the Germans are at all inclined to do so?
We at Capital Economics have certainly said that any meaningful stimulus from Germany is wishful thinking. We've got climate change policies happening in Germany, but any amount is going to be very small in the grand scheme of things.
Jessica Hines from Capital Economics. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. As global growth worries weigh on governments and central banks across the world, a Bank of England rate setter today warned prolonged Brexit uncertainty could lead to rate cuts if that continues. The pound slipped on those comments while European shares are broadly higher. For $80 and a few clicks online, you can get a visa to Saudi Arabia starting today. For the first time, the nation is opening its doors to tourists from around the world. The BBC's Grant Ferret has more.
Saudi Arabia has been contemplating this move for years. The Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, is keen to diversify the economy and reduce its reliance on oil exports. Until now, visas have been largely restricted to pilgrims and business people. From today, they'll be available to tourists from 49 countries. There'll be no restrictions on unaccompanied women, although non-Muslims still won't be allowed to visit the holy cities of Mecca and Medina. But Saudi Arabia's deeply conservative social attitudes and ban on alcohol, combined with the controversy over the killing last year of the journalist Jamal Khashoggi, might put off many potential visitors.
Grant Ferret there. The British boozer has been described as the heart of England, but for decades, the number of pubs open for business in the UK has been falling. Young people, though, are breathing new life into the ailing industry. The BBC's Emily Thomas explains why.
You'd think that maybe they wouldn't bother with all these pubs closing. They've got their whole lives stretching ahead of them, their whole careers. But when we spoke to the British Beer and Pub Association, which represents about half of UK pubs, they told us that the number of young people actually taking on their own pubs is rising. So we spoke to this group of young landlords, and they were actually really attracted to the traditional values of the pub. The idea of this place where everyone in the community is welcome. One of them, Liam, and he's just 23, but he was saying how important it was to him that the ethos of the pub stays as it ever was.
I've got one guy that's been drinking in the pub since 69, which is like way before our time, still comes in, but then chats to the 20-year-old that walks through the door and lives down the road but has only moved in a year ago. I don't necessarily think there's a lack of demand for a traditional pub.
And what are those challenges?
I mean, things like the beer tax, the kind of pressure that licensing put on like new venues that can't open past midnight and gardens have to be shut earlier and stuff like that. So there is pressure.
So that's Liam there, one of the pub owners you spoke to. Now, if he's trying to appeal to both the old school customer and the newer generations who like cocktail bars and maybe fancier experiences, how do people like him balance that?
Well, what they told me they were trying to do was to keep the pub looking as traditional as possible in some ways. So wooden floors and wooden tables and chairs, but then at the same time to offer a bit extra. So quizzes and themed nights, live music, sprucing up the beer garden. There was even one who said that she'd put a train in the beer garden so people could take a ride on a miniature train. But really crucially for their bottom line is this growing emphasis on food. So it's food sales as much as, or even more than, drinks that are keeping some of these pubs going. So there's a real emphasis on what the kitchen can offer. And then, of course, there are still the beer taps and the bar for the traditional customers. And what these young people want to do is make sure there's something for everyone and they keep that community feeling going.
Now, the restaurant business is not an easy one for anyone to dip their toes in, certainly not when you're a young 20-something. So financially, how do these 20 and 30-year-olds do it?
Well, I mean, they're in charge, they're the pub managers, but typically they're working for pub chains. So they've got a salary as the manager, but then often there's some sort of bonus or incentive scheme for drink sales and for food sales. So it's the big companies, the chains, that are taking on the cost of setting up these restaurant kitchens.
Emily Thomas, host of The Food Chain, thank you.
Thanks, Victoria.
Finally, an update on a story from earlier this week. The NFL said fans who bought tickets to the league's London games through the now-defunct travel firm Thomas Cook can repurchase their game tickets. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.